This is the glorious Dreamcast podcast coming to you from our winter palace in fabulous Houston, Texas.
And I'm Christian Edelman, and I'm here to introduce my co-host this week, Mike Kearns. You know him. He's a famous internet gadabout in Houston. You probably know him from the Dream Shake or the Battle Red blog or numerous other venues where he shares his sporting opinions with you, the lucky reader. How you doing, Mike?
I'm just living the dream, baby. How you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. We're back after a Thanksgiving layoff, and I hope everyone had a great holiday, and I hope everyone's enjoying the recent more positive trend for the Rockets, shall we say. What do you think about the last few games, Mike?
Well, we've won a few, so that's a nice start, nice change of pace.
Not only have we won a few, we've actually beaten some good teams. Let's kind of recap from the last podcast. We had a game against Golden State, who beat us in the second game of the year, and we got revenge against them. So that's a win. We laid an egg in Charlotte after doing their usual thing of having leads and keeping it close and then just kind of collapsing. Mm-hmm. Then we beat OKC, got revenge for a nasty loss on the road, one of the few losses other than the next one coming up where I felt like the Rockets were never in it. The next one is Dallas, where Dallas just got incredibly hot. The Rockets got incredibly cold, and that game got away from us, and it never came back. And then the Lakers, everyone's favorite, the Lakers. Four games in a row losing for the world champs. It's sad. But so anyway, let's talk about anything that sort of stands out from that group of games.
Well, we were at the Golden State game, so I think we shared a lot of opinions there.
That's right. That's right. We had we had almost the entire Dream Shake staff at the game, courtesy of the Rockets. So thank you, Rockets, for
They treated us pretty good there.
Yeah, they did. They treated us very well, and the Rockets treated us pretty well also. What did you think, Monte Ellis? Everyone when we walked in was saying that Monte Ellis was going to maybe score 60, and he didn't. He didn't end up doing that.
I joked about him going for about 47, and I was more expecting around 30. But I mean, I didn't even realize he was in a game till about the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they shut him down pretty well. Also, I have to say one of my favorite players in the league is quickly becoming one of my favorite players in the league. Steph Curry, he looked pretty good, and then they forgot he was on their team. I'm not quite sure what happened. It looked like he could just shoot, drive the lane, whatever he wanted, score easily. He got a few fouls on him, and then he really never came back, from what I could tell in that game.
Yeah, I expected to see him ISO him a little bit more than they did, but I think while we were there, we didn't even know who his coach was. We actually had to think about that, who his coach was for a second,
because
Nelly ain't there anymore.
Keith Smart, of Indiana fame, the last championship Bobby Knight won, I believe.
Yeah, so I don't know really if they have a game plan or if it's just go up there and whoever's got the hot hand, they're going to keep feeding them the ball. But yeah, Curry definitely should have been more involved than he was.
Right, and Monte Ellis found that that some nights the long two-pointer on a long turnaround two-pointer just doesn't fall, and that's a shame. But that team was also without David Lee, who seems to have been a big presence for them, and they're getting him back after he had an infection in his elbow from someone's teeth, I think. So anyway, on to OKC and the much maligned Shane Battier. What did you think about Shane in that game, Mike?
Well, I thought it was kind of funny after the game when he said that they asked him if he did anything different. And he said, well, seeing Andre Johnson put the beat down on Courtland Finnegan basically inspired him. I thought that was that was just the best quote I've ever heard. So I think as much as everyone's really
Andre
just,
Johnson got a big round of applause there, too.
Yeah, I heard about it. Were you at that one?
I was at that one. I was at that one. And Andre Johnson, they found him in the crowd. And he seemed a little shy, but and almost not even happy about it. I think he was contemplating whether or not he was going to be suspended.
Yeah.
But as we can see, the league basically said, as long as you're willing to pay $25,000, beat up Courtland Finnegan anytime you want.
Hey, I am in full support of that.
That's an excellent stance by the
NFL. In fact,
NFL.
I'm thinking about starting a fundraiser. So, hey, help Mike take a shot at Courtland Finnegan. $25,000.
I'm thinking you could pass a tip jar at Reliant.
No, but as much as we've all just crapped on Shane Battier for the beginning of the season, I mean, the way he's played the last few games, you really got to give him credit.
Well, I mean, he flat out outplayed Durant in that game. He came close to his points, got more rebounds, more assists, more blocks, more steals, and shot a higher percentage. So, you know, in what way didn't he outplay Durant in that game? And that is your NBA scoring leader and NBA scoring champ from last season.
And Lee's favorite player in the world.
Well, and one of mine too. I love watching
Yeah, it's
Kevin.
hard not to like him.
But on the other hand, boy, we almost got done in by Westbrook, who has just looked fantastic. That was a crazy dunk he put on the Rockets.
I think I've heard more about that dunk than I have the actual game. Kind of like the D'Andre Johnson fight. You hear more about that than you have the actual game.
I have to say that it was one of the better in-game dunks I've ever seen.
Oh, it was
It was
ridiculous.
fantastic. At the end of the day, though, it was 2 points and the Thunder lost. So
I'll
that's
take that every time.
yeah, absolutely. Then it was off to Dallas and the Cubanites, and that one didn't go so well. The Rockets were in that one, playing them close, not letting the game get away from them. And then, honestly, Dallas got ridiculously hot. It wasn't even a matter, I thought, of defense. It wasn't a matter of effort. Everything they shot went in. There was some guy I'd never even heard of, and this is when I knew this game was going away. And I still don't know his name. He drives the baseline. He's cut off. He does a spinning turnaround jumper from basically behind the backboard and drains it. And I'm like, we're screwed. We're screwed.
That's around when I turned it off. But
Do you know who that was? I mean,
it was some funky name. I can't remember right
yeah,
now.
I'm sure someone will tell us, but
I'm sure it's
I'm like,
someone who'll never have a highlight again.
right, but I was just like, okay, that's it. We're doomed. Jason Kidd couldn't miss. And I know
Perea.
Barea couldn't miss. That's a guy who aggravates me
No
among
kidding.
many, many people who aggravate me on Dallas. So.
The thing with Dallas is every time we play them, I'm like, I feel like I've seen this move before. We can't hit anything and they can't miss.
Right. So when they come to Houston, I hope we put an epic beat down on them and crush their spirit. That's really what I hope for. So anyway, off the Dallas loss, I think a lot of people were not so sanguine about what was going to happen when the world champion Los Angeles Lakers strolled into Toyota Center. And
I know, I didn't think they had a shot.
I honestly was I was certainly prepared for a bitter sort of outcome, but I had written a piece for the Dream Shake counseling everyone to calm down, that it would, if we have to blow up the team, there's plenty of time for that. There's plenty of time to make trades. Let's see what we have. And I did that thinking, I think this is going to be a loss tonight, but even so, I still feel that way. It is the Lakers. They've lost 3 in a row. Phil Jackson's going to whisper some magical made-up Zen stuff in their ears, and they're going to dig down and beat us. And it certainly looked like it was going to go that way. And then who stepped up, Mike? Was it
He's Shane Battier hitting beast
who?
mode.
That
Shane Battier.
useless corpse of a small forward?
The guy that everybody wants to just like throw in for some trade.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I saw him on that show Walking Dead the other day. I'm like, that's Shane Battier. What's he doing there, And but he seems to be back among the living. He at the end of the game, he made the shots that we needed to make, and he shut Kobe down. And not shutting Kobe down means that Kobe scores half as much as he wants to.
Yeah, I think he only had 8 points in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I'll take that
Yeah.
all the time.
But he had a lot of looks, I think he had 8 points on like 10 looks or something. So that wasn't so bad, I think. And to other for other players, that might seem like a good quarter. For Kobe in full closeout Mamba, whatever they want to call it, mode, I thought that was a pretty good performance, because the shots he did make, they were tough shots. One was, I don't know, a 20-foot turnaround jumper with Battier's hand in his face, and Battier about 2 inches from him, and he drained it. And what do you do? That's a great player. Not my favorite player, but I'll admit, a great player. But in the end, it wasn't enough. And another Rocket that's been sort of our cause this season seemed to figure pretty prominently in that game, which was Mr. Jordan Hill.
Who?
I've seen him. He's got kind of I don't know what you describe it. It's like short dreadlocks and kind of
Oh, is that oh, we got Chris Bosh.
he kind of looks. I think it's Chris Bosh's brother, Jordan Bosh,
Okay.
and Jordan Bosh seems pretty good. And he actually seems to be a better rebounder than Chris Bosh, from what I can tell, particularly on the offensive boards. He's a good offensive rebounder, and last night he grabbed some big, big rebounds. He also put a shot right back in Gasol's face that the Lakers unfortunately grabbed the ball and turned into a three-pointer, but Gasol went into his move, went right at Hill, and Hill sent it back. And I thought that was a pretty good sign for Mr. Hill.
Yeah, some would argue he's more important to this team than Chris Bosh is to his team. But anyone who's read
That's
anything,
possible.
yeah,
That's possible.
anyone who's listened to anything that I've said about the Rockets or wrote about the Rockets knows that I've been all year just with Dave and the whole free Jordan Hill thing and letting him play. And I don't know what he did to get in Coach Adelman's doghouse, but he's averaging about 24 minutes a game the last four games. And his efficiency is around 8.5 to the positive when he's in there. I
Okay.
don't, he's getting in there finally. So I'm just praying that this is going to continue and he's not going to be back to 5 minutes, tomorrow night.
Right. Well, I hope so too. I mean, we know that the Lakers were tired, and particularly Gasol, who's honestly been a real candidate for NBA MVP so far this year, as much as it pains me to say that. But even so, Hill played him straight up. They didn't put Chuck Hayes in, and as much as I love Chuck, Paul Gasol is a nightmare matchup for Chuck because he simply
Yeah.
reaches over him to grab rebounds and simply shoots above him. He doesn't need to muscle Chuck out of the way. He doesn't need to go to the basket to get his points. He can just sit there and drain that little mid-range jumper or short-range jumper or spin or do a hook or do any number of things with either hand. And Chuck, at his height, is basically powerless to stop it. So, Jordan Hill. What an unusual idea to put a guy who's as tall as the opposing center and who's as mobile as the opposing center on the opposing center. I have to say, I think that was some excellent strategery, and I was pleased to see it.
Brilliant coaching.
So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back to talk about the NBA. Hello, Dream Shakers, and welcome back. Okay, it's the Dreamcast podcast, and that was my cheesy FM radio voice once again. I hope you enjoyed it. And we're back with my co-host Mike Kearns to talk about what's going on in the NBA. And before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about Rockets trade rumors because there have been some floated by some fairly reputable people, and Mike wrote that up on the Dream Shake, and I think he's the one to walk us through it.
Oh, well, Sam Amick from AOL Foundhouse was talking about. Well, I mean, we all knew that the Rockets had been interested in DeMarcus Cousins since weeks before the draft.
Absolutely.
And he's saying that now there's also another big man they were interested in, which would be bringing back Carl Landry. Now, I was as devastated as anybody when we traded Carl Landry, but obviously we would have to give something back to get him. And what confuses me about the move is I think it would be a lateral move at best because. One, we're very stacked at the power forward position. I mean, we got Patrick Patterson down in D League because we've got so many power forwards. Scola's playing out of his mind. I would have to think someone like maybe Jordan Hill would have to go, and I would think that would be an epic mistake. And also, they've wanted Aaron Brooks for 3 years now. So, as much as I'd like to see Carl back in Houston, unless he came with DeMarcus Cousins, I'm not buying it.
Right. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is the thing. I mean, I love Carl Landry, but Carl Landry is going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. So if we really want Carl Landry next year, we could also consider writing him a check. So that's a possibility, unless Sacramento is going to trade him. And I think the Rockets probably are thinking about the possibility of writing Landry a check if Jordan Hill is going to become a full-time center, which I'm not sure is ultimately where he belongs, but he's been doing a passable job, and you can see what Jack Sigma's doing with him in terms of teaching him big man moves under the basket. He's got a lot more moves than when he came here, I can tell you that. But the key to me is Cousins. And Cousins to me is a guy that if they're even talking about trading him, either his attitude problems are way beyond anything that anyone thought, or they've just lost their minds because I see him as a potential franchise anchor sort of talent. The guy, and I don't mean anchor in the sense of Gilbert Arenas, which is, a contract dragging the Wizards to the bottom of the ocean, but in fact, a guy who you can build your team around. He's
Definitely.
he can score from pretty decent range. He can score inside. He's a natural rebounder. He's an excellent passer. To me, I look at him and I think, what if you combine Charles Barkley and Chris Webber and put him at center? I mean, that's how crazy a player he can be in terms of his talent and his ability. And he's young. I mean, so he's acting like a bit of a punk, but what is he, 20? So I don't know. If Cousins comes along, I'm prepared to give up a lot, including Jordan Hill, including Aaron Brooks, because I think Cousins is the guy that you can build your team around if his head's right. Because the other possibility for DeMarcus Cousins, I think, still remains the epic fail. So we'll see. But so how much credence do you give these rumors? Do you think Sacramento's really floating these deals? Or?
Well, I said that anytime you've got a GM like ours who's, you know, made a couple of blockbusters here and there and seems to come up in every single trade rumor, and they already knew that we had interest in him, sure, it was going to come up. Plus, it's not like we haven't traded with Sacramento several times before. I don't think that they're ready to trade Cousins, but they also said last year, up until an hour before the trade, that they weren't going to trade Kevin Martin, and they did. So I don't know what the Beliefs do up there. They don't seem to like to hang on to anybody, but – my thing is, if we bring in Cousins, the one biggest positive I'm going to see out of it is that means that the team is moving on from Yao Ming.
Well, I'm not so sure it means that necessarily, because honestly, with Cousins on a rookie contract, you could actually afford to re-sign Yao Ming.
No.
But you could. You could. Because Cousins is on a rookie deal. He's not that expensive.
Aren't you tired of paying a guy to sit on the bench in a suit?
I like those suits.
come on, I don't understand why everybody had such a problem with McGrady was doing it. Now that Yao's doing it, people are starting to finally come around, but people are still like, no, you just can't replace him. I can replace him with a guy that plays.
I guess the difference in my mind is that I don't think Yao is just sitting there laughing on the bench.
Of course not.
I think Yao wants to play. He wants to be a guy who gives you value for money and goes out there and leads the team. And I'm hopeful still that, you know, there's a history with centers that when they get this foot procedure done, that after about a year, they actually have enjoyed very good health. And the two players who are an example of that are Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Rick Schmitz, who never became super high usage guys, but they were very reliable after they had the procedure on their foot. And I'm hoping that's the case with Yao Ming. And I also, by the way, I don't mean re-signing Yao Ming for $18 million.
Oh, God.
I mean re-signing Yao Ming for about $9 million. And if he'll do it, and given that his other income is something in the neighborhood of $35 million, and some of that's got to be predicated on playing for the Rockets, then he may not want to rock the boat either. And he may understand that and maybe it's a short deal. Maybe it's 2 years to see how he does. But I also think, boy, if you had a developing DeMarcus Cousins and you had a Yao Ming who was available at least for 25, 30 minutes a game, that would be pretty amazing. That's a pretty scary idea. But I know how a lot of people feel. They've got Yao fatigue, and it's easy to understand, and I have a lot of sympathy with it because I struggle with it myself.
Well, I'm with you. If he's just going to be a part, I'm fine with it. But if they're going to keep trying to build the team around them like they have done for the last 7, 8 years,
Right. And I did want to talk about a little bit of statistical work that I did, speaking of which, if you believe in win shares at all, which is one of the Basketball Reference advanced stats to gauge overall player contribution on offense and defense, and they combine it into this win shares number, what's interesting is Yao is better than Tracy McGrady in all but 2 years they were in Houston together in terms of win shares, and by a lot in those years. And the 2 years that he's not better, he's within one win share of Tracy McGrady. So anyone who's saying that Tracy McGrady was really the key and he contributed more than Yao and he was more valuable, BS. It's not
I actually
true.
Think he put a gap in Yao's development personally.
He may have by taking away opportunities that should have gone to Yao. It's possible. On the other hand, McGrady could pass, and he could actually get the entry pass into Yao. So I'm not trying to bag on McGrady.
Hey, that's all right. Reunion, December 7th, reunion, baby.
That's right. We're gonna see him, huh? So,
which one do you think leaves the game first with an injury?
I don't know. That's an interesting idea. I don't think they personally have any animosity, so we'll see. I mean, I just feel like, you know, McGrady just kind of laughed at us and cashed checks for 2 years, and that's my only real beef with him, because when he was on and when he was right, he was a breathtaking player to watch, and I think he really did try. I just wish that somehow Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant's work ethic had transferred to Tracy McGrady. But that said, speaking of reunions, there's another interesting reunion tonight, and that is LeBron James with his home state of Ohio and
And
the
it's
city
on
of
at the
Cleveland.
same time as the Texans game.
Right, that's
Damn
right,
it.
which is good because it can camouflage the Texans from the public eye, which may be useful, or may not. It may be another epic Texans win that suddenly the defense has found an identity and it's not all tied into Rusty Smith.
Oh, you telling the fairy tales again? That's cute.
Was that his name? By the way, Bill Simmons in one of his podcasts said there was never a good player named Rusty, and I would say Rusty Greer for the Rangers was a pretty good player. So
Yeah.
you're wrong, Bill Simmons. Rusty Greer. So
He's a Celtics fan. What does he know?
what does he know? Because anything that's not on either coast has never existed unless possibly it happened in Chicago. So no, actually, he knows a fair bit about the Rockets. I'll grant
He
him that.
does. He's a
So
good dude.
I'll grant him that. So anyway, like he's listening to this podcast. So Bill, if you're listening, as you always do, think about Rusty Greer once in a while. So anyway, what do you think is going to happen tonight? I've heard people say that they're going to put anthrax in the powder that LeBron throws. Yes.
No, it's like when Johnny Damon left the Red Sox and went to the Yankees, and everyone was just like, oh, this is must-see TV. When he goes back to Boston, this is going to be just terrible, and it completely wasn't. Of course, Johnny Damon was a much more likable guy, but I think you'll hear a
Well,
lot of
now
boos.
was he? Because I mean, before this year, LeBron was Mr. Likeable. He was like a big teddy bear,
Yeah, but when Johnny Damon went to the Yankees, he took a full page ad out in Boston and said, thank you to all my fans for all my years here stuff. LeBron didn't do any of that crap.
I thought they did some damage control later, but I'm not sure. But maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
You'll hear a lot of boos, and you'll hear every time he touches the ball, it'll be just indefinite boos. But as far as actually like throwing anything at him or doing
So
anything,
they're not going to throw batteries at him like in Philadelphia.
no, that'd be awesome, but
I
no.
mean batteries, in terms of things to bring into the stadium that you can fling and that are hard to detect and can do some damage when they hit. Batteries are good, but I hope we don't see that. That would be wrong.
That's Cleveland. They'll probably throw beer bottles or something.
Right. So I don't think we'll see a brawl or anything, but I mean, he is a more painful sort of thing. It would be, I don't know. I'm trying to think about. It would be like, I don't know, Hakeem doing it to us. Not when he went to Toronto because the Rockets wouldn't re-sign him on the terms he wanted, where everyone said, "Well, Hakeem, you got to do what you got to do." But more like if he left us right after the second title and went off to play for, I don't know, Detroit, something like that. I think that the sense of betrayal that this was a guy that we almost think of as a native son because of his U of H days, that in his professional career until the very end, he never left Houston. And I think LeBron is a bit that way, being an Ohio native who went to Cleveland to play pro ball. And I think the sentiments run a little deeper maybe than with Johnny Damon. And also Cleveland is a city that can hold a grudge. It really can. If it's funny to hear LeBron getting advice from Albert Bell, but
They can hold more than a grudge. They can hold a winless streak together too. When's the last time they won a title? Was it like 51 or
Yeah,
something?
it's painful, and I feel bad for him because Cleveland's been dumped on enough. I'd like to
Oh
see
yeah.
it. I'd like to see him win a title in something someday,
Go
But
Browns.
yeah. So good luck to the Browns, unless the Texans can somehow pull it together. And so for our last bit of around the NBA, I hope people with the NBA package, what do they call that?
It's NBA TV, isn't it?
NBA TV, not NBA. Yeah, it was on NBA TV, in fact. So if you've got even basic cable, but more or less, you've got NBA TV, and the Spurs Clippers game, Blake Griffin. Oh my God, that guy! You've got to watch him, everyone out there.
He's an athlete, ain't he?
He's an athlete and he's a player. I mean, he's not just an athlete. He's a guy who knows what to do on the basketball court,
Court,
and
and
he
he
has
has
the
the
crazy
crazy
ability
ability
to
to
do it. So,
Oh, wow.
anyhow, that was pretty cool. And
Well, when he had the microfracture, I think everyone kind of just wrote him off, thought he was just gonna be another Greg Oden,
now,
all hype.
was it a microfracture that he
I thought
had?
it was. I might be
I thought it
wrong.
was
I thought it
something else.
was.
I thought he had like a dislocated kneecap or something where they had to put it in place. And because the microfracture is where they drill those little holes because you don't have any more cartilage,
Yeah.
and it's like pretend cartilage because it's congealed blood, which just sounds awesome. So,
So I think that combined with the fact that he went to the Clippers, people just kind of,
right, and the curse of the
it's the
Clipper.
Clippers, they'll screw it up
Yeah, the
somehow.
curse of the Clippers immediately struck him, but he seems to be back. He seems to be undamaged. Whatever he did to his knee sounds like something that, took a long time to get over, but is not career threatening. And some of the things, I mean, some of the alley-oops he made, Baron Davis just lobbed something vaguely in his direction, and he went about a mile in the air to get it. Another one, he dribbles under the, he's at the basket with Duncan on him. He spins away under the basket and reverse slams it. It's just awe-inspiring, and they beat the Spurs, who were looking pretty unbeatable, except in overtime against the Rockets. But
Courtney Lee.
Courtney Lee, why couldn't you hit a free throw?
He was channeling Nick Anderson.
Yeah, that was painful. But anyway, when you get a chance to see Blake Griffin, I urge you to do so because it's pretty amazing. And I think that's it for us this week. We're on to the next one, and I think we can win it. I think we can turn this thing around. And so don't give up hope. I think the Rockets are on the right track. They're beginning to look like the team that we thought we'd see. The defense is looking a lot better. Look at where the opponent's scoring has been lately in the past few losses. It has not been bad. The Lakers came in at 99 points. So that's not too bad.
And the schedule's looking a lot lighter here in the
The
next couple of
schedule's
weeks.
looking better, so if we can get on a nice little win streak, we can get to 500, maybe by the new year. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible. Before you go, I do want to say one thing. Did anybody miss, if anybody missed the Ron Artest prank phone call at
Oh.
1560 last night, listen to it because I was in tears this morning.
That's good. There's a link on the recap of the Rockets Lakers game to 1560. Ron Artest, to set it up briefly, calls in and tries to do a Luis Scola impersonation, which I don't know how to describe it, except it's Ron Artest with a silly accent for
The
a little.
free balling thing had me just
The
dying.
Chuck Hayes free ball, and yeah, I mean it makes me miss, as I say, it makes me miss the true warrior, that he was pretty fun in his way. And
Character, yes. The player, maybe not so much,
well,
but the character, definitely.
it seems like even Phil Jackson can't hold the player completely in check.
Yeah.
He's had some luck on his three pointers, but he'll also shoot some awful ones. So anyway, but Ron, thank you for that. It's nice to see that he remains good natured and likes the guys he played with in Houston. And check that out. Keep the faith, and this is the Dreamcast with your co-host Mike Kearns. I'm Christian Edelman. Bye.